إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. So today around 60 or 70 brothers and sisters have been sitting the entire day listening to various topics about the Orientalists and the non-Muslims, how they attack Islam. We talked about the history of these attacks, the reasoning behind the Western attacks, and the general response. And then we went into various specific examples. We talked about how they attack our aqidah, our beliefs, how they make fun of Islam, how they claim that there's no need of religion, that religion should be separate from church and state, should be separate from each other. We also mentioned their attacks on the Qur'an, how they try to explain the phenomenon of the Qur'an. Where did the Qur'an come from? Because they deny and reject the Qur'an. And we explained how they try to deny the authenticity of the Qur'an by claiming that the Qur'an has not been preserved for us. And we went on then to the Sharia and how they attack the Sharia of Islam, making fun of the hudud or the Islamic punishments, making fun of the fact that we have a complete legal system. After that, we went on to the seerah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how they make fun of and ridicule our beloved Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, even to his family life. They don't even leave his family life alone, and in fact, they make that a prime target of their attacks. And lastly, we talked about the family life of the Muslims and how they attack the status of women and the general role of women in Islam. Throughout all of these 5, 6, 7 hour lectures, we talked specifically about examples and refutations and examples and refutations. In the concluding lecture that I will give and after me, inshallah, Brother Abu Aliya, I am going to talk about something slightly different. We're going to discuss 4 basic points today in this lecture, the final lecture. Firstly, what is the goal of their attacks? What do they intend to do? Secondly, what is the motivational factor? What is the driving force behind these attacks? Thirdly, what is the modus operandi? How do they plan to achieve that goal? How will they actually get to the goal that they desire? And lastly, briefly, I'm going to touch upon the perspective that we should have. In other words, the basis for the solution. As for the actual solution, it cannot be said in 5, 10, half an hour, 1 hour. It is a long topic. But I want to just hint at and to mention briefly the mentality and the frame of mind that we should have in order to arrive at a solution. Because the fundamental problem that we have is we don't even know our problem. This is the fundamental problem that we have. So these 4 points I'll mention, inshallah, in the next half hour. What is their goal? What is the driving force that they have, their inner workings? How do they plan to achieve that goal? And what is the frame of mind that we as Muslims need to have, bearing all of this in mind? The answers to all of these questions, without exception, are directly from the Qur'an. The most authentic book, the only preserved book that we have from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, there does not need to be any proof other than the verses of the Qur'an. And in reality, if one examines the kuffar, he will see these proofs within them without even having to have any evidence from the Qur'an. If one were to examine the actions of the kuffar and the non-Muslims and the Orientalists, one can deduce all of these points I will talk about, but we will not go through that tassel. We have the Qur'an speaking directly to us. Firstly, what is the ultimate goal? We talked today at least about 30, 40, 50 conceptions, misconceptions that they have that they use to attack the Qur'an. So what is their goal that they use to attack Islam? What is their goal in all of these attacks? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions it clearly in 2 verses in the Qur'an. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ يُرِيدُونَ, they want. This is what they desire. Here is their goal. In no unexplicit terms, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has told you what is their irada, what is their goal, what is their desire. They wish to extinguish. يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ, the light of Allah. They want to extinguish the light of Allah. With what? بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, with their mouths, with their tongues. The ultimate goal is to wipe out Islam. The ultimate goal is to extinguish the light and the guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their mouths. And what does Allah say? وَيَأْبَى اللَّهُ, and Allah has forbidden, Allah has refused, إِلَّا أَن يُتِمَّ نُورَهُ, except that His light be spread. In other words, Allah will not allow them to extinguish His light, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, even if the kafirun, even if the disbelievers, the kuffar, do not like it. And likewise in Surah As-Saff, Allah says, يُرِيدُونَ لِيُطْفِئُوا نُورَ اللَّهِ بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ وَاللَّهُ مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ. They wish to extinguish the light of Allah, but Allah will of a surety cause His light to shine and perfect that light. مُتِمُّ نُورِهِ, He will perfect that light, make it shining bright. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْكَافِرُونَ, even if the kafirun dislike it. So in these two verses, the one of them is in Surah At-Tawbah, verse 32. The other one is Surah As-Saff, verse 8. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala lays out explicitly, clearly, the reasons behind their attack of Islam. They wish to extinguish the light of Islam. How do they want to do it? Allah says, بِأَفْوَاهِهِمْ, in both of these verses, with their tongues, with their mouths, by talking. They can't do anything else. The parable that is given in this verse is powerful. The light of Allah is shining strong. And they cannot do anything except babble. Except talk. Except try to blow it out with their talking. And what does Allah say? It will never happen. It will never happen, even if the disbelievers don't like it. Allah is going to make His nur spread. As-Suddi, one of the famous students of Ibn Abbas, he said that, يُرِيدُونَ أَن يُطْفِئُوا الْإِسْلَامَ بِكَلَامِهِمْ, by their speech they try to refute Islam. They try to negate Islam. This is the tafsir of this verse. In other words, all of these attacks have this goal in mind. They simply want to negate, they simply want to extinguish the beauty, the brightness, the radiance of this religion of Islam. And the analogy that is given is that of a helpless person with a huge bright shining light in front of him, and he cannot do anything except babble about it. It's not going to do anything to the light. And that is why in both of these verses, Allah follows it up with the same verse. Both of these verses, they're followed up by the exact same verse. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ لِيُظْهِرَهُ عَلَى الدِّينِ كُلِّهُ وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ. He is the one that has sent His messenger, بِالْهُدَى, with the guidance, وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ, and the true religion. هُوَ الَّذِي أَرْسَلَ رَسُولَهُ بِالْهُدَى وَدِينِ الْحَقِّ. Why has He done this? لِيُظْهِرَهُ, so that He can cause this religion to be victorious. Do you know the meaning of the word ظُهُور? Means to have the upper hand. That is why ظَاهِر means the outer, because it is the upper hand. So this religion will have the upper hand over all the other religions. وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, even if the mushrikun hate it. If the mushrikun hate that this religion has the upper hand, it doesn't matter. Now someone will ask, how does this religion have the upper hand when we see that the Muslims are humiliated on the face of this earth? Their blood is not worth water. They are being massacred left and right. They don't even have one pure Islamic state that they can call their home. How is it ظاهر? The answer to this is that ظهور, or victory, is of various types. One of the types of victory is the political victory that is being referred to by this questioner. And this victory, it is not the greatest type of victory. Therefore, it comes and goes. This type of victory comes and goes for the Muslims. A victory greater than this is the victory of being upon the truth. The dhuhur of carrying the haqq, the actual torch of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The victory of gaining Allah's pleasure, of fulfilling the purpose of creation, of entering Jannah and saving oneself from the fire of hell. And this victory can never be extinguished from the Muslims, no matter what their political or social state might be. So we have to understand that victory or dhuhur is of various types. Another type of victory is always to have the upper hand in showing the evidences of this religion. This too is a type of victory. If Christians try to prove their religion to us, then without a doubt we can refute them with the greatest of ease, because we have the victory. We have the tools, we have the weapons, we have the evidences, armed with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's ayat and the Prophet's ahadith sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, to destroy any other religious group, ideology, belief, creed, way of life. Because there is only one deen, inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. And this too is a victory that can never be taken away from the Muslims. So we have to understand, when Allah says that this religion will be victorious, وَلَوْ كَرِهَ الْمُشْرِكُونَ, then it is victorious. And victory doesn't necessarily mean a political victory. Yes, it is one type of victory. Therefore, the Muslims sometimes have it and sometimes don't. But a greater victory is the victory of the truth. And this the Muslims will always have. It can never be taken away from them. So, the first point that we talked about the ultimate goal of the kuffar, of the non-Muslims in their attacks. They see the light of Islam, they see the beauty, the radiance of Allah's wahi inspiration, and they want to destroy it. The question arises though, why? What is their driving force? What is their motivation? Where do they get this inspiration from? And that is the second point today. Simply put, in one simple word, all of these motivations and inspirations can be summarized. Jealousy. Hasad. They see the light of Allah. They are not upon it. They want to destroy it. What is the proof for this? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ مِّنْ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ. Many of the people of the book, what do they desire? وَدَّ means they have a strong desire. Therefore, wood is one of the names of love. A strong desire. It's not just a normal desire. It's an abnormal desire maybe even. وَدَّ كَثِيرٌ Many of the people of the book, they have this desire. لَوْ يَرُدُّونَكُمْ مِّنْ بَعْدِ إِيمَانِكُمْ. That if you were only exchange your iman for kufr. If they can only turn away after you have accepted iman, turn you away to kufr. حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. حَسَدًا. The i'rab or the grammatical analysis of this verb, of this adjective, in Arabic you call it مَفْعُول لِأَجْلِهِ. This describes the reason. The kuffar want to do this. Why? حَسَدًا مِّنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Because of a jealousy from amongst themselves. A jealousy that is existent in their heart. مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. After they have realized that this is the truth from Allah. So this verse clearly lays out for us the motivational factor. Where do they get the reason or the inspiration to do this? It is out of pure jealousy, pure envy. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, that أَمْ يَحْسُدُونَ النَّاسَ عَلَى مَا أَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ الْفَضْلِ. Are they jealous? Because Allah has given certain people, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Muslims out of his blessings. They are jealous because Allah has favored the Muslims over them. Allah is asking a rhetorical question. Is this a cause to be jealous? You can become a Muslim. Where is the jealousy there? If you want to attain this good, become a Muslim. You'll become one of us. Why are they envious of something like this? Likewise, Allah describes the Jews that before the advent of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they would be boasting to the kuffar of Makkah, that the Prophet will come amongst us. The Prophet is going to be coming amongst us. As for you, you are a jahilun, ignorant, ummiyin nation, don't know anything. We will have the Prophet from amongst us. But what happened? The Prophet did not come from amongst them. It came from amongst that same group that they were putting, that they used to be putting down. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes their situation. That after the revelation comes, they reject it. وَكَانُوا مِنْ قَبْلُ يَسْتَفْتِحُونَ عَلَى الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Before the revelation came to them, they would be bragging and boasting that they are the real winners because their Prophet will come amongst them. فَلَمَّا جَاءَهُمْ مَا عَرَفُوا. But when what they knew came to them, when the Prophet finally came to them, كَفَرُوا بِهِ. They rejected him. The kuffar are described in the Quran in more than one verse. يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know him. Him meaning who? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In more than one verse, Allah describes the kuffar, يَعْرِفُونَهُ كَمَا يَعْرِفُونَ أَبْنَاءَهُمْ. They know that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is from Allah, that he is truthful, that he is speaking the truth, that he is a messenger, just like they know their sons. Is it possible that you're ever going to get confused who your son is? There can be 1,000 people standing, even all of them similar to your son, but you'll be able to spot out your son in a crowd. Heck, even if there's a wall between you and those children and all of the children are crying, you will be able to recognize your son's voice, as every parent knows. When his child cries, he can recognize that voice, even if he can't see the child. This is how Allah says the Jews and the Christians know that this is the Prophet of Allah. Just like they know their sons, there is nothing that is more sure than recognizing a person's son. And yet the Prophet of Allah is described that the kuffar know him like this. So then what is the reason of rejection? It is pure envy and jealousy. They see the Muslims upon good, so they want to remove it from the Muslims. Instead of accepting the good themselves, it is not as if the good is restricted to the Muslims. You want it, become a Muslim and the good will be yours. You see the guidance in a person's face, you see his iman, you see his taqwa, you see how content and happy he is. There is nothing preventing you from that happiness. Except La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. But no, arrogance and pride and jealousy and envy, they are not going to take that path. So we have to understand the motivational factor that drives these people. And when we're talking about the kuffar of the past, do not presume that the kuffar of today are any different. Do not presume that the kuffar of today are any different. Verily the Qur'an was revealed describing all of the kuffar till the Day of Judgment. And anyone who has dealt with Orientalists and with non-Muslims studying Islam, realize that these are still in existence amongst them. Specifically the Jews and Christians, when they study Islam, they know that this is a prophet from Allah. All of the signs are met in him. All of the message is the same. The wahi is the same. The inspiration is the same. But they are not going to accept a prophet of the Arabs, or they're going to become like the Muslims that they see. Pride, arrogance, kibr, istikbar, this is their driving, their motivational force. Here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala describes in the verse we said, مِن بَعْدِ إِيمَانِهِمْ كُفَّارًا حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. The hasad, or this jealousy, Allah describes it in a very strange way. From themselves, مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Why did Allah describe the hasad from like this? Allah, do you understand? Allah is saying that the envy is from themselves. This is how Allah says it in the Quran. Why this extra description? Of course the envy is from themselves. Allah is stressing a point here. And that is that envy has no basis to it. It has no real basis. It is, they are inventing it themselves. Like I said, there is no cause to be envious when you can attain the good yourself. So Allah makes a point and He says, حَسَدًا مِنْ عِنْدِ أَنفُسِهِمْ. It is concocted from them. They invent this hasad. It doesn't need to exist. But they make a deal out of it and they realize the truth. Like Allah says, مِن بَعْدِ مَا تَبَيَّنَ لَهُمْ أَنَّهُ الْحَقِّ. After they realize it's the truth, then their arrogance and jealousy take into control, take into gear. Therefore, they go upon their rampage of trying to extinguish the path or the light of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Okay, how are they going to achieve this goal? The third point, the modus operandi if you like. The goal is to extinguish the light of Allah. The driving force, the motivational factor is envy, and if you like a side point is kibr or arrogance. But in reality, arrogance comes under kibr, because when you are, arrogance comes under jealousy. Because of that jealousy, it leads you to be arrogant, that you're not going to be like that person. Okay, so they are actually synonymous, or one of them leads to the other. That is the driving force. How do they plan to achieve it? How do they wish to extinguish the light of Allah? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also describes this in the Qur'an when He says, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Again, very clear terms. It is amazing how clear the Qur'an speaks to the Muslims, and yet, unfortunately, so many Muslims turn away from it. وَلَن. لَن is an Arabic word that means this will never happen. It will never occur. وَلَن تَرْضَى. That the Jews and the Christians, Allah specifically mentions Yahud and Nasara to give emphasis. He could have said Ahlul Kitab, which means the same thing. But to give emphasis here, He says, وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى. Again, Yahud, وَلَا النَّصَارَى. The la again is added for emphasis. You don't need it. You don't need the extra la, because there's already a lan. Okay, I'm getting a bit advanced here, but I'm trying to explain to you, this verse has a lot of emphasis in it. That neither the Jews nor the Christians are ever, len, are ever going to be happy with you. Until when? This is now their modus operandi. This is how they're going to operate. Operate. حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you follow their way of life. And look at the wording Allah chooses. مِلَّة. He didn't even say deen. Because it might be understood that deen is a religious aspect. He said مِلَّة. مِلَّة means their whole way of life. Not just their beliefs, but their cultures, their fads, their everything. What's in, what's out, what's cool, what's not. Everything, you're going to follow it. Then and only then they will be happy with you. Verily the Quran speaks to us in clear, simple, basic Arabic. But where is there the person that is going to benefit from this? Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 120. وَلَن تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى. Of a surety, neither the Jews nor the Christians will ever be satisfied with you, will ever be happy with you. In other words, that war that they are waging to extinguish the light of Allah will go on permanently and forever. Until, حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. Until you follow their way of life. مِلَّة, way of life. And look at it. When our sisters try to wear hijab, That is when they're going to face the barriers, when they apply to the med schools, when they apply to the jobs, when they try to do anything in this society. But when they dress like the kuffar, act like the kuffar, talk like the kuffar, and for all practical purposes look and you wouldn't even know that they're Muslims, they look like the kuffar, then no problem. They are American just like us. Couldn't care whether her name is Fatima or Amina or Cindy or anything. But when she wears the hijab, this piece of cloth that might even be cheaper than $1 or $2, it causes fear to go into their hearts. It causes grown up men to start shivering and trembling out of fear that they have to show her some type of barriers. They have to put barriers in her path, whatever she wants to do. Same thing with the brothers. When they have a beard, they're going to have problems finding jobs. They're going to have problems getting any place they want, getting into the positions they want, getting upgrades or moving higher in their workplace. Why? Because it causes fear. It causes envy and jealousy. They start, whereas any other way of thought, you could be a Sikh and wearing that turban that the Sikhs wear, and you would not face the racism that a Muslim faces in this country, or any Western country for that matter. Why? وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَا النَّصَارَ حَتَّى تَتَّبِعْ مِلَّتَهُمْ. They know we are upon the truth. Therefore, they're not going to be satisfied with a half-shoddy job from us. All of the other religions, no big deal, because they're not upon the truth. A Buddhist, a Hindu can integrate into this society. Heck, you guys work in the real world. I'm the one living as a hermit's life somewhere else. You guys know, the Hindu versus the Muslim, which one's going to get the promotion faster? Which one can integrate more into the society? Even though the Hindus' beliefs, from Christianity's perspectives, are far, far more radical and worse than the Muslim. Yet who gets the promotions versus the Muslim? Who is able to integrate far more into their society than we are? Did you ever stop to think why? Why is it that the Hindu, who is far more removed than us, gets all of the fancy positions, and it's for practical purposes, he might even be white and his name be John. They're not going to look at that. But for us, when we're practicing our Islam, we're having our beards, or even trying to ask for Jumu'ah off, automatically there's some type of image above us, some type of question mark, some type of, we're going to face problems wherever we go. Ask yourself this question. Think about it. Why is it only Islam that they target? Because they know it's the truth, they're scared of it, and they're jealous of it. وَلَن تَرْضَى عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَن نَصَارَى حَتَّى تَتَّبِعَ مِلَّتَهُمْ. طيب, we've talked about their goal. We talked about the driving force, the motivational factor. We've talked about how they're going to achieve it, and that is that they're going to try to make the Muslims follow their way of life, get into materialism, culturalism, so whatever you want to call it. They want the Muslims to be like them. Now the question arises, what is the solution? And I think after this brief talk, I think the solution is very, very clear to all of us sitting here. We have to be aware. We have to be on our guard. We have to be conscious of the reasons for these attacks against Islam. Why is it that any time something occurs in the press, and the person that does it happens to be Muslim, his religion becomes an identity? Whereas when a Christian does something, it's never mentioned. A Sikh does something, it's never mentioned. A Buddhist does something, an atheist, agnostic. No one cares what your religion is when you blow up a building. This guy, Timothy, maybe did anyone even bother to ask what religious sect he belonged to? He's just a right-wing fundamentalist lunatic, that's it. But whenever a Muslim does something, it has to be mentioned. Above any other religion, it has to be mentioned. Likewise, whenever something happens in a Muslim country that might be of an embarrassing nature, they're going to put it in the papers. Whereas things more embarrassing and more worse might happen in all of the kuffar countries, but they're not going to put it in the papers. Keep an eye out, any paper, the Houston Chronicle included. Look at how many topics are related to the Muslims versus any other religion. You're going to mention the word Islam, Muslim, maybe 10, 15 times in any day's newspaper, more than any other religion. Muslim fundamentalists, Islamic rebel groups, Islamic terrorists. Why targeting this one religion? If you were to say that they're xenophobic, that they don't like any race or culture, then they would do the same for all of the religions and cultures except Christianity and Judaism maybe. But they don't do it. They never mention any other religion except for Islam. When we realize this, then it becomes obligatory upon us to become conscious, of the psychology of the kuffar, of why they're doing what they're doing, of how they're doing it. This is the first step. When we realize where they're coming from and why they're doing it, that's the first step in order to put up the defenses. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells the Muslims in the war, while they are in jihad, Allah says in 2 or 3 times, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. Be cautious, take precautions. This is while they're in the heat of the battlefield. When the mujahideen are facing the kuffar enemy, Allah says, خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ. They don't need to be told خُذُوا حِذْرَكُمْ when they see 10,000 people in front of them. But Allah is still reminding them. So how about when we are having an invisible war? When we are having a jihad that cannot be seen. It's not with horses, it's not with weapons, it's not with men. It's a war of propaganda. It's a war of bashing, if you like, of stereotyping, of negative criticisms. How much more does the hidr, how much more does the cautiousness have to be present? So the first step is we need to have our mindset correct. We need to know that the kuffar are doing what they're doing for the reasons that they're doing it. The second step, once this sets in, we have to put our loyalties and our priorities straight. Our loyalties, meaning that our loyalties are to the Muslims. Our priorities, meaning our priorities are the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala based upon the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then calling others to this worship. This is our primary purpose in this life. The worship of Allah based upon the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then calling others to this path and this da'wah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَهَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا بِأَمْوَالِهِمْ وَأَنفُسِهِمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ آوَوا نَصْرُوا. Basically, those that believe and do jihad and do all of these good things, أُولَٰئِكَ بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. They are the protectors, the awliya of one another. They are the ones that will take care of you if you need any help. They are the ones you turn to for help. The next verse, Allah says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا. Those that disbelieve, those that are kuffar, بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. They are helpers of one another. So Allah lays out, these are the last verses of Surah Al-Anfal, the last verses. Allah lays out in these verses, the believers are helpers of one another, the kuffar are helpers of one another. And then He says, إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ. If you don't do it this way, if you don't pay heed to what I'm telling you, Allah is saying this. إِلَّا تَفْعَلُوهُ تَكُنْ فِتْنَةٌ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَفَسَادٌ كَبِيرٌ. There's going to be a great fitna on this earth and a great fasad. A great tribulation, a great turmoil, a great bloodshed will occur if you don't pay heed to this. Pay heed to what? That our loyalties are with the Muslims first and foremost. And the kuffar, they're going to gang up against you. وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا بَعْضُهُمْ أَوْلِيَاءُ بَعْضٍ. The kuffar are waiting to gang up against you. Brothers and sisters, we're living in the 20th century now. We have examples, in fact the 21st has now come. We have examples in our lives. Examples that many times we read about in the books of history. Look before you what happened in Afghanistan, in Bosnia and Chechnya, in Kashmir, in Philippines. These people, the Muslims that are living, they're our Muslim brothers. They were more integrated into their society than we are into American society. This happened before our eyes. It didn't happen in the books of history that we have to read about the Crusades and the Mongols and the massacre of Baghdad and the rape of this. No. Before our very eyes, 5-10 years ago, all of us were here, we saw it, we read about it, we saw it on television. The people that were being massacred and killed were more integrated in their society than we are into American society. Yet despite that fact, at the end of the day, when the war broke out, the kuffar showed their true colors. The kuffar showed their true colors. They ganged up. From the United Nations all the way down to the Croat and the Serb soldier. They all ganged up against the Muslims. That was the case in Bosnia. That was the case before that in Afghanistan. Look at Afghanistan. The same people that are now being vilified and slandered. Yesterday they were the heroes of Afghanistan. They were the mujahideen. Back in the 80s it was cool to be a mujahid because it was against the Russians. The same people that they're vilifying and slandering are now the greatest enemies of America. They were praising back then, they are now the greatest enemies of America. It's all a war of propaganda and words. Never forget that your loyalty, first and foremost, is to Allah and His Messenger, and then to the Muslims after you. Never forget that the kuffar have a goal in mind. The kuffar have a goal in mind. You cannot be relative when it comes to Islam, in the sense that you cannot judge Islam from a neutral perspective. Either you're a Muslim or you're not. There is no such thing as a fair non-Muslim judging Islam. We have to realize this. If we doubt this, what we are saying is that Islam is not the truth. You can have a non-Muslim that studied Islam 20 years, he has PhDs from the fanciest universities in Islamic studies, and he's not a Muslim, and we still look up to him. He studied the Quran, he studied the Sunnah, he studied the Seerah, he studied the Tafsir, he studied the Hadith. Why isn't he a Muslim? What is his goal? Did you ever ask yourself why the majority of people teaching Islam in this country are non-Muslims? Yet go to any other department, liberal arts department. The people teaching it, are you ever going to find a Muslim teaching Jewish studies? Heck, you're going to find a Christian teaching Jewish studies? No. But why is it that the majority of people teaching Islamic studies in this country are non-Muslims? Ask yourself, what is the motivational factor? Why would someone spend 15, 20 years of his life getting a PhD in Islamic studies and get a measly salary of 25,000, 35,000 a year? What is the motivational factor? Why would someone who is not even a Muslim do that? Don't be so naive as to presume that these people are flirting with Islam, if you like. They like it, they have a type of love affair with it. There is no such thing. All of them have an agenda. Some of them are more hidden than others, but all of them are out to destroy Islam. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلَ. Do you doubt the word of Allah? They try to extinguish the light of Allah with their mouths, but they are never going to be able to do it. Brothers and sisters, we are living amongst the non-Muslims here. We have to realize that Allah has given us an opportunity while we are here to teach other Muslims and to teach the non-Muslims, to guide them and to call them to Islam. But never forget that the Muslim is the Muslim and the kafir is the kafir, and never shall the twain meet. We are a distinct, not just religion, there is no comparison between us. And never will the kafir accept us as his brother. Once we have this primary, this is my point to you, I'll conclude on this point. Once we have this primary understanding in mind, then we will realize the need to build our Islamic schools, to have our Islamic organizations, to have independent Islamic masajid. We need to stand on our own two feet. Until we rely on the kuffar, we have no chance of survival in the long run. We need to be able to defend ourselves in our own ways, with our own Muslim schools, our own Muslim institutions, our own Muslim organizations. Everything we need to have, we need to be able to stand on our own two feet. Because the kuffar are not out to help us. Realize this. They might even help charity-wise any other religion. They might. With regard to the Muslims though, they know we are upon the truth. So because of their envy and jealousy, and because of their extinguishing the light of Allah, they wish to try to do that. They are never, وَلَنْ تَرْضَ عَنْكَ الْيَهُودُ وَلَنَصَارَى. They are never going to be satisfied and pleased with us until we follow their way of life. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر العظيم لي ولكم سبحانك الله وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. With that, I'll ask Abu Aliya to come up for the rest of the half hour, and then we'll open the floor for question and answers, inshallah.